Welcome back to Monday Mentor, a Right Medicine podcast series. I'm your host, Alex Howson. You might remember that in episode 108, I shared core competencies for succeeding as a CME writer. Today, we'll dive a little deeper into two foundational elements of CME writing: identifying clinical practice and performance gaps, and crafting effective learning objectives. These skills are essential for creating impactful educational content. So let's get started. Narrowing clinical practice or performance gaps to improve healthcare quality and patient outcomes is the central goal at the heart of CME. But what exactly are clinical practice and performance gaps? In simple terms, these gaps are the disconnect between what clinicians currently know and do versus what they should know and do according to the best available clinical evidence. As CME writers, our job is to tell the story of this gap and how education can bridge it. And we typically do this in a needs assessment, which is the core document that supports CME and continuing education planning, education design, implementation, and evaluation. As any supporter or education provider will tell you, a well-constructed needs assessment is the foundation of successful CME grant applications. And this document justifies why an educational activity should be developed in the first place. The needs assessment is essentially a story of transformation that needs to capture current knowledge, competence, and performance, what clinicians currently know and are doing in practice, and what they should know and do according to the best available clinical evidence, as I said before. The disconnection between what clinicians know and are doing and what they should know and do is referred to as a clinical practice or performance gap. The Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education defines a gap as the difference between healthcare processes or outcomes observed in practice and those potentially achievable on the basis of current professional knowledge. So these gaps are essentially gaps between what is and ought. Gaps between what is happening in current clinical practice, performance, processes, or outcomes, and optimal practice, or what ought to happen. Practice gaps are the building blocks of needs assessments, and substantiating practice gaps requires thorough research to support three key assertions. First, that the gap exists at all. Second, that the gap stems from knowledge, skill, or attitude deficits. And third, that education can actually address these deficits to narrow the gap. One way to think about a gap analysis is through a series of questions. First, what is the gap or the problem? So examples of clinical practice or performance gaps might include statements about clinicians who are not applying evidence-based criteria to evaluate patients who present with symptoms of a particular disease or condition, or who are not able to differentiate symptoms of a particular disease or condition from those of other similar diseases, or clinicians who are selecting established therapies that they're familiar with over newer evidence-based therapies that are part of clinical guideline recommendations. Second, why? Why is the gap occurring? Why is this a problem at all? What drivers or factors contribute to this gap? Third, audience. Who has or is affected by the gap or the problem? Here, writers need to be as specific as possible in learning about and describing the targeted audience. Are we talking about primary care providers? Are we talking about nurses, nurse practitioners, specialists like oncologists or pharmacists? All of these health professionals have different roles and responsibilities and licenses to practice in particular ways that we need to understand in order to understand the audience. Fourth, timing. When does the gap or problem occur? At what point in a workflow or clinical process do we see the gap? A useful process rubric to think about where gaps might occur in clinical practice mirrors the clinical process from presentation, examination, diagnosis, evaluation, treatment, monitoring, and follow-up. These are all clear points where specific gaps in practice or performance could emerge. And there are others. Fifth, context. Where is the problem occurring? The context of clinical practice and performance gaps is an important but often overlooked piece of information in the gap analysis process. Clinical settings and environments have unique characteristics. For instance, community cancer centres differ from academic centres, and they're often influenced by place, whether they're located in rural, urban, or suburban settings, the populations they serve, and the available workforce. For instance, many specialist workforces like oncology and urology are aging out, which means that there could be human and intellectual capital shortages. So understanding the context in which clinical practice and performance gaps occur is also important. In fact, Caroline Pardo recently posted about this on LinkedIn as part of the work that she and Sarah Nisley at Clinical Educational Alliance are doing on the professionalization of CME and CPD. And one of the observations they've made in the research that they've done to date is that CME and CPD professionals need to include much more information about context when they are thinking about establishing education need and designing education activities and programs. And sixth, solution and outcome. We need to take all of this information and think about how education is going to address the gap and the problem, and what will change as a result of the education. Julie Dirksen's 5 Common Gaps to Learning are helpful here as a way to think about what the learner, the clinician or the health professional, needs to learn to move them closer to a desired or recommended practice or performance outcome. And the framework includes knowledge gaps, skill gaps, motivation or attitude gaps, as well as environmental gaps and communication gaps. And you can learn more about this approach from the gap analysis framework I created for you. There's a link in the show notes. Now, once you've identified the gap, the next step is translating it into actionable learning objectives. Learning objectives are action statements that connect practice gaps and education needs to anticipated outcomes. What will learners be able to do differently as a result of the education? And well-crafted objectives bridge the current state and desired outcomes across knowledge, competence, performance, and patient levels. I'll come back to that in a minute. Here are 4 rules of thumb to think about when you are creating learning objectives, which should contain certain stems and pieces of information. First, learning objectives should be actionable. There should only be 1 action statement per learning objective, 1 verb. You'll sometimes see very long-winded statements. If a learning objective has more than 1 clause in it or more than 1 verb in it, it's pointing to more than 1 action. And if you see this in learning objectives that perhaps clients or employers share with you, it's time to say, let me help you unpack this learning objective and create something actionable and measurable. Second, learning objectives must be measurable so that education providers can measure what the learner has learned. Third, the action verb should target the desired outcome. The action verb that the learning objective contains points toward some desired outcome or anticipated outcome. And these typically align with knowledge, competence, performance, and patient and community level outcomes associated with Moore's outcomes framework. But other assessment and evaluation frameworks exist, like the Kirkpatrick model. And I talk about these in my upcoming book, which will be published later this summer. Message me if you want to be first to know about the publication date. And fourth, learning objectives must be relevant and align with the education content. So here's the TLDR on learning objectives. To write effective learning objectives, make sure they're clear, measurable, and achievable. And use action verbs aligned with the target outcome level. Bloom's revised taxonomy is a helpful framework here for cognitive learning objectives, guiding verb choice for objectives spanning basic recall to advanced analysis and synthesis. But other resources for writing learning objectives include first, SMART learning objectives, writing learning objectives that are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and timed. Second, ABCD, writing learning objectives that focus on the audience, behavior, condition, and degree, that clearly define who the learners are, the observable behavior expected, the context or the situation, and the level of performance required. And third, the Kern and Thomas approach. Who will do how much, how well, of what, by when? And this is the approach the American College of Surgeons uses, and I'll put a link to a cheat sheet that they created in the show notes. While many CME objectives focus on knowledge gains, education design often aims to enhance competence and drive meaningful performance change. So as writers, we need to get into the habit of pushing ourselves beyond knowledge-only objectives to include, where appropriate, learning objectives that foster practical skill application. And this is one of the things that we focus on in next-level needs assessments. So to wrap up, identifying clinical practice and performance gaps and articulating learning objectives are the foundation of the needs assessment, the story of transformation that CME content will deliver. And mastering these skills is essential for creating needs assessments and for education providers to design education that resonates with learners and other stakeholders. As a writer, when you can paint a vivid picture of current practice shortfalls and craft objectives that chart a clear path to improvement, you're well on your way to developing powerful, purposeful needs assessments that support quality education. So embrace the challenge of finding the most compelling gaps and translating them into laser-focused objectives. And if you want more support in developing clinical practice gaps and learning objectives, that's exactly what you get in Next Level Needs Assessments, a self-paced course with real-time support from me. I'll put a link to more information about the course in the show notes. Thanks for joining me today on Monday Mentor. In our next episode on Wednesday, we'll explore how to create social media-based CME content with Julie Merton. Until then, stay curious, keep sharpening your skills, and crafting exceptional CME content.